B-Pod Studios.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
All right, it's a 5 o'clock hour, and the 5 o'clock hour is brought to us by Gaida Door and Window. Buy any window or door and get the second one at 50% off. Now, that's a pretty good deal. Plus, interest-free financing for up to 18 months. So call Gaida Door and Window today at 1-877-GO-GAIDA or visit GUIDA.com. All right, so this is our next guest is a really interesting guest because she covers the Utah Jazz, and a former Inquirer writer covered the Sixers, Sarah Todd, now covering Utah Jazz for the Deseret News. And she was on the scene last night in Oklahoma City when all that stuff went down, the weirdness of that whole thing where they had people in the stands and all of a sudden Rudy Gobert test positive and rush him out of the arena, and they shut down the game and they quarantine. Let's bring in Sarah Todd on the Comcast Business Hotline Beyond Fast. Sarah, how you doing today and what's up?
I'm tired. I haven't slept yet. It's been a very, very long day. But other than that, I'm doing fine. I did notice that you said that they rushed Rudy Gobert out of the arena, but he was actually not there last night.
Oh, he wasn't there last night. Oh, okay. That's my bad then.
Yeah.
Okay.
And the whole scene was really surreal to actually be there while it was happening in real time. We had no idea what was even happening when it was happening. You know, we saw someone sprint onto the floor. That someone ended up being Thunder medical personnel.
Mm-hmm.
And what had happened, the reason they ran out, the reason that it happened was seconds before tip-off that the game was called, was because literally at that moment was when Rudy Gobert's COVID-19 test results came in to the Oklahoma State Department of Public Health. And so as soon as those test results came in positive, they called over to the team. They sprinted out onto the floor and let everyone know the situation. And because Rudy obviously in close contact with his own teammates, and those teammates are out on the floor, they wanted to get everybody out of there. So
yeah,
it was a really weird situation.
It was totally wild scene. I guess I get confused because I saw the video of Rudy Gobert, and so that was the day before, I guess, or the game before, whatever that was.
But, yeah.
When he was touching everything. So last night,
it was
now
2 days before.
2 days. Okay. So now you're in the arena, and they have to make these plans, and they wouldn't release people who were in the arena for a while. Tell me how that process worked.
Well, they wouldn't release like team related people.
Mm-hmm.
So the players, the coaching staff, their training staff, medical staff, et cetera. The media, the traveling media that cover the team, including yours truly, was left in the dark for about 3.5 hours. Nobody said if we were going to be tested. I could have walked out of that arena at any point and got onto a plane. No one would have stopped me. It was a really weird situation, so we just kind of had to make a responsible choice and say, we're going to sit here, stay tight, and wait until someone gives us some sort of direction. Eventually, the league office got to us, and they said, yeah, you're going to be included in the testing because, I mean, we have close contact with these players every single day. We're standing around them. They're sweating on us. They're talking to us, you know, breathing on our equipment. And so we were definitely exposed and at high risk, and so that was a lot of the stress of last night, was getting the test done and then waiting until the results came back today, which for me, they were negative. So that's great news.
Well, yeah. Congratulations for that. So you stayed in the arena because you thought it would be irresponsible for you to leave. And so you actually welcomed the testing and whatever they were going to tell you to do at that point.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to leave until someone tested me. Mm-hmm. They had to drag me out of there at that point because, you know, what we're hearing the information about this virus is like, if you're in close contact for a cumulative amount of 15 to 20 minutes with someone, in close contact, meaning within 6 feet of them and having a conversation, that's enough to, you know, transmit those respiratory droplets, mm-hmm. which is how this virus is spreading. And that's, I mean, conversations with guys within 6 feet of each other is entirely my job.
Yeah.
And so, I was like, this is dangerous. If I am infected and I leave here and I go get on my commercial flight tomorrow and I potentially infect an entire plane full of unwitting people, that's not responsible. So I stayed.
Yeah, that was a good call on your part. So now let's see the dynamic of the Oklahoma City Thunder. Were allowed to leave, or were they tested first and then they were allowed to leave?
Right. Well, because the people that get tested for COVID-19 are people who have been in close contact with a confirmed case of somebody who's tested positive. And so the Thunder, they'd been like around the arena, but Rudy hadn't been in there. He didn't go to shoot around that morning. He wasn't shaking those people's hands or anything. And so it wasn't a situation where they really were at risk. They were checked for symptoms. Their temperature was checked because fever is a part of the symptoms of this. And they were released after the CDC and health department checked them over and they felt like they were okay. As far as the Jazz go, though, they were all completely at risk because it was one of their teammates. And so they didn't want them going anywhere until they completely were tested.
Okay, so is that when Donovan Mitchell got tested?
Yes, that is when Donovan Mitchell was tested.
Okay, and of course his test came in. Now, how many people were tested last night, and how many health personnel did it take to test everybody, and what did the test consist of?
Yeah, there were a ton of people conducting the tests. I mean, there were two or three people talking to us at a time when they were doing the test, and it was somewhere between 55 and 60 people that were tested altogether. And so, and the only one that tested positive out of those people, now that's excluding Rudy, who was tested earlier in the day yesterday. Mm-hmm. And so 55 to 60 people at the arena that were tested, the only one that tested positive was Donovan. The rest of us tested negative. And the test consists of two swabs, one in the throat, one up a nostril. They have to swab for 10 seconds, so it's really uncomfortable. And it feels like they're trying to scrape your brain out, but then it's over in 20 seconds. So,
okay, so you can get the test quickly. Now, because Donovan Mitchell was in the building, now I'm thinking of the Oklahoma City players that left, thinking, okay, they didn't have any contact with Gobert. Now, when you look back, should they have been tested?
I mean, it's what you're worried about is testing someone or... The worry is after someone is symptomatic, because mm-hmm. that's what they're worried about, the disease spreading. It's not so much that, like, when someone is not symptomatic, they're not worried about it spreading. Mm-hmm. So that's why, like, for example, I'm quarantined for 14 days, and so I'm staying in my apartment. Wow. And I'm not supposed to go out into, you know, public gatherings or be within 6 feet of people, because if I do develop symptoms, then I would become contagious, and that's when they're worrying about it spreading. Right now, not worried at all. But if I do develop symptoms, then it would be a problem.
You're locked in your house for 14 days. That means you can't go to the grocery store, you can't go to the drugstore, whatever you need to do.
I mean, I could go to the grocery store. They said they recommend doing it on off hours. Probably want to wear a mask just in case. I don't want to cough on anyone and freak anyone out, you know? Uh-huh. But as long as I'm not showing symptoms, then I'm not at risk of doing anything to anyone.
Wow. We're talking to Sarah Todd. She covers the Utah Jazz and formerly covered the Sixers here in Philadelphia for the Inquirer. I guess the next question is, and I don't know if you have any information on this, can they trace where these guys cross paths with and how they originally contracted?
Yeah, absolutely not. And, you know, the idea that it was Rudy that gave it to Donovan, or Donovan gave it to Rudy, or even that they were patient zero, that's, there's no way to know, there's no way to tell, and they could have got it from a different person on a team on the road on the 4-game trip that they just got back from. They could have gotten it from somebody that they were visiting with in a different city, and there's no way to tell where they got it from or who gave it to, or even if they did give it to each other. And so there's a little bit of irresponsible messaging that's going on out there, and that's mm-hmm. not true.
Okay. When you heard that the NBA had taken this step, what was your reaction?
That they had suspended
the season. And what was your first, your initial, did you think they were going to go there? And secondly, what do you think happens now with the season?
Yeah, my initial reaction was that they waited just a little bit too long to do it. That was a step that they should have already taken. And I'm glad that they did it. And we were seeing way too many people in situations where this is spreading in large public gatherings. And it was bound to happen anytime. And it's unfortunate that we had to wait until we found out that players actually are testing positively for the virus. But that's where we are. And I don't know where we go from here. I think it feels like it would be a little bit too positive, or maybe looking too much on the bright side of things, to think that we're going to actually see the season return this year. Because I mean, it took the Chinese basketball, they were off for 10 weeks before they even thought about returning. And the NBA, I know there's things out there right now that saying the owners are looking at maybe a 30-day reevaluation. Like, this is not going to clear up in 30 days. Mm-hmm. This is still going to be a problem.
Yeah. Sarah, listen, we thank you for coming on. I want to ask you, I know you did spend some time in Philadelphia covering the Sixers, and you're absorbed with the Jazz currently, but have you given a glance towards the Sixers and what they've done this year, and has it surprised you that they are the sixth seed right now?
I have not watched a lot of the Sixers this season. I've been really saturated in what's going on with the Jazz. With all of the problems that they're having and everything that I've been hearing from my Philadelphia, it does surprise me a little bit that they are the sixth seed, and I mean that in a positive way. Mm-hmm. There's been a lot of things going wrong that could have taken them farther down than that, and so... But 60 doesn't matter if the NBA is not in session.
Yeah, I get you. How do you compare Salt Lake City to Philly?
There's no humidity.
It's a beautiful city that you're in now.
It's so great. Yeah.
All right. Listen, Sarah, adhere to that quarantine, and thanks for coming on. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, no problem. Thanks a lot.
All right. Sarah Todd covers the Utah Jazz, Deseret News, and formerly covered the Sixers for a couple seasons. Where is she from originally, Ty?
I think the Bay Area.
Yeah,
Bay Area.
She wasn't she her hometown affected really bad by the fires in California?
I believe so.
Yeah, because yes. She did a piece on that when she was still here, I think.
Yeah.
That in November of 2018.
Yeah, so yeah. It's a California girl. That was a tough scene. I can't imagine, like... She could literally, that was one thing on social media she was sharing, how she could have just walked out. Mm. And she ended up testing negative, but what if she didn't? You know what I mean? Like, so that's a scary thing. It doesn't seem like these guys have things buttoned up enough to where if there is a large gathering and something was to happen, how to have it tight. They should have known that the beat writers are with the players every day. They should have known to test them automatically. Had she left, she would not have been tested. And I think because of her, the other beat writers stayed and they ended up all getting tested. And thankfully, they all tested negative except for Mitchell.
Well, which is interesting why I answered the question. And Mitchell was there with... Oklahoma City Thunder were allowed to go because Gobert didn't affect them, but there was an infected guy there who was in the same vicinity as the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yeah, and it was funny. One of the first things that happened were other Jazz players knew something was up. Mm-hmm. Chris Paul goes over to dap everybody up.
Yeah.
They yell at him to stop and go away.
Yeah, I saw his reaction to that. Like, what do you mean?
Yeah, they stopped to go away. So I think... I don't think Mitchell had close enough within 6 feet interaction with any players pregame. Okay. Absolutely would have had tons had the game started, and it was seconds away. It was so close, Mike, that they had paid the halftime worker. They had the halftime entertainment performed before the game to kill time. It was that close to tip off.
That's
it was
so
like
insane.
It'd be like after the bell ring, everybody does the introduction, and they go, wait. It was that close to start.
When you get tested, they tell you immediately? It takes a few hours.
Yeah, so she had to wait around.
She was there till like 5 in the morning, probably.
Yeah. Right. And then I think she finally made her way back to... but they weren't going to let anybody fly until they tested negative. Because right now, Donovan Mitchell is still in OKC. I don't think all of his teammates have to stay, but he's in the medical facility in Oklahoma City. Donovan Mitchell can't leave. I don't think Rudy Gobert can leave either.
Let's go to Matt on the cell. Matt, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Matt.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's up, Matt? How you doing?
Good. Obviously the whole show is pretty much surrounded by this virus. And I wasn't sure if you guys caught the guy that's going around, Michael Osterholm. He's going around all the news stations. He was on Joe Rogan's podcast. He is a...
Somebody sent me that. Who is that guy? I don't know who that is.
He is a world-renowned infectious disease expert.
Okay.
He's like one of the top guys when it comes to this stuff.
Okay.
And I was wondering if I could kick a couple numbers to you guys that he...
go right ahead. Yeah, I haven't listened. Right. They sent me a 15-minute of the podcast. So.
All right. One of the things he said that like really resonated with me was trying to stop this virus is like trying to stop the wind.
Yeah.
As long as we're all breathing, it's going to spread. The best bet is just to stay away from people. Stay at home if you can. But he spit out some numbers, and I wanted to read them off real quick, if that's okay.
Oh, sure.
All right. So the COVID-19, these are just conservative estimates, obviously, because not a lot, I don't want to say not a lot of people are affected yet, but it's going to get a lot bigger. They actually predict that this virus, will be at least 10 to 15 times worse than any flu season that we've ever seen. He also said that they expect 96 million people to be infected by the time this is all said and done. 48 million of those 96 million, so actually roughly half, will probably require hospitalization. And out of the 48 million people that will require hospitalization, they expect around 480 deaths to result from this virus worldwide within the next 3 to 6 months.
Wow, that's crazy. Yeah, I'm just reading a story that CNN did on him. He said he's been warning for a decade and a half that the world would face this pandemic and the U.S. was ill-prepared to combat the coronavirus due to a shortage of equipment and supplies. That's sad stuff.
Go ahead, sorry.
All right, man. Listen, that's good stuff, man. I appreciate it. He wrote a book, The Deadliest Enemy, Our War Against Killer Germs. So this guy's been hammering this point for a really long time that we were ill prepared if something like this happened, and we were. Dave on a cell. Dave, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Dave.
Hey, Mike. After hearing that, I don't know. Just curious about sports. How are you getting up your game? Keep us all positive about the world and everything that's going on.
It's tough.
Spotting your shoulders. Philadelphia during this time
of
right now.
Yeah, I hear you. I like, listen, this is a world issue, and it's a world issue that dwarfs sports. You know, we have to talk to people about this. People want to talk about this. They wanted to be assured that they're doing the right things, and they want to discuss these kind of issues. So we're here for that.
This is your time to shine, Mike. As Herb Brooks would say.
Yeah, I got you. I hear you. All right, Dave. Thank you. John Clark spoke to Jay Wright about this whole thing.
Yeah.
I'm on at 5:30.
Yes, sir.
All right. Big East tournament, of course, canceled. And, it's not a big thing, but this is the only chance for the teams that aren't locked for that tournament. This was their chance to actually show something.
Yeah.
But in the overall scope of things, what does it really matter?
I agree. I keep getting people, even people I know, who keep wanting me to think, oh, well, it's no big deal, and it's just this, and it's just that, and it's just this, and it's just that. All right. Mm-hmm. Let's say those people are right, as you said. It's still better to be cautious. We'll learn mm-hmm. from this, and if this kind of situation ever happens again, and most likely, it may not be in recent time, but if you compare this to 1918, something like this will happen again, we'll be better prepared for it. I don't understand. It's just better to be prepared.
So the NCAA tournament has been postponed, not fully canceled.
They used the word canceled.
They did, because I accidentally said something was canceled earlier and it was just suspended. So I've been pretty cautious with that.
Yeah, so I guess they figured they'd never be able to catch up and school's involved in a whole bit. But here are some tidbits. This nice packet you put together, Ty. City Council. These are just the news tidbits that are related to this virus. City Council is putting forth measures to ensure that people won't lose their homes over the coronavirus. Resolution recommends that utilities participate in a temporary moratorium in any evictions, foreclosures, tax liens, or utility shutoffs, which is a good thing.
Very good.
Wow.
Yeah. Two Philly judges self-quarantined for potential coronavirus exposure. The two judges handling criminal cases, Philadelphia Court of Common Pleas, had some exposure to the coronavirus. Nothing more specific than that. Maybe one of the judges traveled. Oh, yes. One judge travels from Spain. And so the other judge was in contact with a person who may have been exposed during a conference. So they put a self-moratorium, a self-containment on that. The Pennsylvania state basketball tournaments have been suspended for at least 2 weeks, not canceled. Temple has the big fan fest they've canceled. Also the A-10, Big 10, SEC, Big 12, Big East, all the conferences canceled their conference tournaments. Upper Dublin School District is going to close Friday for coronavirus cleaning. Philadelphia schools are in trouble because they bought hand sanitizers with no alcohol.
Come on.
They went cheap. They went bobo.
The one I have in my studio, it's mostly alcohol. It burns your hands. I love it. It's what we need.
University of Delaware. Students, researcher, tested positive for the coronavirus at the University of Delaware. Lower Merion schools dismissed early after a parent revealed that he had been exposed to the coronavirus. A parent of two students at an elementary school was exposed to a person with coronavirus. And now Lower Merion School District is dealing with that. And Acme is limiting purchases on cleaning supplies, toilet paper, and pantry staples.
So they're
people are gobbling everything.
They're rationing them.
Yes,
wow.
They are.
Wow.
So just the little of the tidbits that are going on just in our area. So we know that throughout the country, stuff is like this is going on. We'll take a break, come back. John Clark will talk about his conversation with Villanova. He'll be here at 5:35. John Clark talking about his conversation with Jay Wright and Jay's reaction to the NCAA tournament being canceled. It's the Mike Missinelli Show back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. ...97.5, The Fanatic.
Well, they did cancel the NCAA tournament, and a lot of people are canceling their spring sports. I just found out Villanova canceled their baseball season, and I have a question that involves that. But let's get to our Twitter poll. Final Twitter poll numbers brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons. Get your lawnmower zero turn or any of your small engine tools up and running again in time for spring with Paul B. Moyer and Sons online parts warehouse. Visit poweredbymoyer.com today. Natalie.
Thanks, Mike. Over 2,600 votes on today's poll. Do you think these sports cancellations are appropriate? 74% said yes, be cautious. 26% say no. Overblown, so can't change those people's minds, I guess.
I guess you can't. Now, here's a question. If you play a spring sport and that's been canceled, let's just take baseball. It's like the quintessential spring sport. Do you lose the rest of your eligibility?
People are asking that. It appears that right now the NCAA plans on doing the right thing and extend eligibility, but it's not official yet because this literally just happened today. But it appears that they want to extend.
Okay, so if you're a senior, then you would have to come back next year as a grad student for several months of curriculum before you get the baseball season to play that final season.
Right. And you have a choice. Either you don't want to, or you would, or you do want to. Now, apparently a lot of these top schools have enough endowment money to the side for situations like this. But we'll see if they want to spend it on a baseball player who they don't think is going to be a pro or something like that. I hope that they do. But the important thing is, the kids will be able to graduate. They can't pull any scholarships or anything. So I guess if the graduation is still most important in that case, and the kids will still graduate on time.
All right, Dominic is in Santa Clara. Dominic, what's up out west?
Hey, what's going on, Mike?
How you doing?
I'm doing good, buddy. How are you?
Good.
Hey, I just wanted to give you guys an update what's going on out here. So everybody is pretty much working from home in the tech industry. They've been sent home. Mm-hmm. The cruise ship that was off of the coast, they're having a staging area for all the people in a hotel off of 101 in Santa Clara. And I know people in JetBlue that they're asking their employees to take time off without pay. And upper leadership has taken a 20% pay cut because the airlines are slow.
Yeah.
So, wow. So
they're asking to take a time off without pay, huh?
Yeah. I mean, we'll see what kind of response they get from that. But that's, you know, that's where we stand now.
Yeah, that's tough. All right. Yeah. That's good information.
Yep. Thanks, buddy.
All right, buddy. Thank you. From Santa Clara, Dominic checking in. All right, Brian in Hazleton. What's up, Brian?
Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, Brian.
Hey, just a quick question. Is there a jumping off point for the NBA and the NHL of maybe canceling the season and not having playoffs? Did you hear anything about that?
Not yet. I mean, I'm sure that is a possibility, but...
because, you know, the longer this goes... You know, their time constraints become more, you know, more of a problem. And I was just wondering, remember years ago they used to do those mini series with the basketball and the hockey, the best of three. Would that be considered, do you think?
Best of five may be considered. I don't think best of three would be considered. You know, when are the playoffs? What's the date, Tyrone, for the playoffs?
I think it was like April 21st was the start of the playoffs.
All right, so they've got some time over a month to work with it. I don't have an answer. I don't know what they're... You know, this is a day-to-day situation for everybody.
Right. I was just curious to see that conceivably you could have a year where there's no champions in either the hockey or basketball because of how far that this can go.
Yeah, but you know what? We'll get over it. If it comes to that, you know, there have been strikes before. We got over it, right? I know it sounds like a terrible hardship that we're not going to have sports and nobody's affected more than we are here doing a sports talk show. But, you know, the bottom line is at this point, it's secondary to what's going on.
Right. I was just wondering if you heard if there was like a timeline where they would just, you know, wait and see. And
no, they made this big leap last night. So I'm sure they're trying to get their hands around it and they don't know where it's going. And they'll just have to take it day by day.
Okay. All right. Thanks, Mike.
All right, Brian. You got it. Let's go Bill on a cell. Bill, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Bill?
Hey, Mike. Good to talk to you all. I'm glad you all are taking this on head on strong. I'm a little scared because I've had dealings with the CDC before. Quite honestly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, in 2004, I contacted tuberculosis, and none of the doctors could tell me, you know, all they could say it was from your years of travel in the Navy, 13 different countries. And I worry about my kids to this day from it, you know what I mean? I don't trust the testing. So it's a scary time. It's especially scary for me right now. And it just brings me right back to 2004, Mike.
Yeah, I can see, Bill. You know, if you've been affected by something like this, how it would bring back bad feelings.
Yeah, well, I spent 60 straight days in solitary confinement in a room where even the nurses didn't even want to come in to give me meals. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. I used to let them just change my sheets. You know what I mean? But they kept me in the hospital for 60 days, giving this medicine. They gave my kids a different medicine. And you know, till this day, they couldn't tell me where I got it. They just said, your vast military experience. You picked it up overseas, and a pneumonia spawned it on. And this just brings me right back to that day, and it's just scary. And I'm a little scared at this time, and I think, hey, shutting everything down is not a bad idea because
it's really the only thing they can do.
Shut it all down.
There's no other, other alternative. Bill, you hang in there, all right?
Yeah, brother.
Okay, all right. Now, you know what we take for granted? We take for granted the doctors, the nurses, the medical personnel. that are treating the people who are affected.
Well, that, and so a lot of the testing that's being done is being tested on the personnel, because then, and that's part of the problem here, and this is why we can't stress enough why you have to take the precautions, because if those people, that's the first line of defense, if those people aren't able to treat other people, that's where the trickle-down effect comes. And this is where the shortage of not only supplies, but also caretakers for the sick comes in. That's the magnitude of this continuing to spread.
Yeah, and you got to be fearless when you're in that kind of a job, and you have to sacrifice your well-being for others' well-being. All right, we got him on the line. Let's quickly talk to John Clark of NBC Sports Philly, who had a conversation with Jay Wright regarding cancellation of the NCAA tournament. He joins us right now. Johnny, what's going on? What did Jay have to say?
Well, it was all in real time, Mike, and this is the way it is right now with all this news. It's minute by minute. And after Villanova arrived back here on campus because the Big East tournament was canceled, then we got word as we were interviewing Jay Wright that the NCAA tournament was canceled. And it was all in real time. On camera, Jay just stood there and said, wow. This is historical. We have never seen anything like this before. And then Jay kind of reminded us about how this thing is being spread. So Rudy Gobert, Donovan Mitchell, and the Jazz played at Madison Square Garden last week. We don't know if those players were infected with the virus then. Mm-hmm. Now, Villanova never went into Madison Square Garden, but you don't know some of the places that these guys have been or who else could have been infected, and maybe people working in the building. You just don't know.
So how close were they to going to the Garden? Because they were supposed to play tonight, right?
Yeah, they were in their hotels, and they were ready to go. And then I think Jay told us that once it was kind of brought up that Rudy Gobert played in the Garden last week, and that the mayor in New York was going to have a press conference about different things. That's when the Big East decided, okay, we have to shut this down. Of course, it was at halftime of the game.
Yes.
But, you know, now they're wondering, hey, do we have to look out for symptoms and possibly be tested? So, and then it comes out that a CAA official who refereed in the CAA tournament this past week has now tested positive for the coronavirus and didn't show symptoms until 3 days after the tournament. And talking to somebody here at Villanova, they said those referees also referee Big East games. So we don't even know it's being passed around. We don't know who has it. They don't even sometimes know they have it. And this is really, to me, it's getting scary. It really is. It really hits you when you see the connections of all these things.
On a sports note, I mean, it's difficult to accept when you're an actual contender for a national championship, which brings the school great revenue and acclaim. It's difficult to accept that your season suddenly is over. How do you think that Jay and the team are dealing with that part of it?
Well, Jay said each step of the way when he has told his players, like, okay, we're probably going to have to play the Big East tournament without fans. Then it was, hey, the Big East tournament is canceled. NCAA tournament, obviously, before that, we'll have no fans. And each step of the way, he said he could see their heads hang and see the disappointment. But it's kind of now they've gotten numb to it because there's been these steps, three or four steps each step of the way. And obviously, they're extremely disappointed. Some of them will never have this chance again. But Jay has tried to tell them that, you know, if you look at what's happening in our world, basketball, it really is totally insignificant.
Yeah, it's really hard for a kid to understand that, and they're going to lose guys. This is the last part of that. Like, Bay is not going to be a college player anymore. Samuels is a senior. Is Gillespie back? Gillespie a junior? Will he be back? Yeah, that's the kids that it really impacts. But like, Bay will be a pro, so he'll forget about it quickly.
Yeah, and Mike, you had a kid at Penn, Devin Goodman, who was 2 points away from 1,000 points.
Mm-hmm.
And then he's told he can't play in the Ivy League tournament. By the way, the Ivy League, you know, it seems like they were the ones, even though we were like, wow, why are they doing this? Why can't they play without fans? They were the ones who really were ahead of all this. I think they were one of the first to cancel something completely. This is scary because it's spreading and we don't even know it.
There's no question, John. We're all like in a state of shock here. I mean, we do sports talk radio for a living without sports now. Sports is your profession. I don't know what you'll be covering at this point. So it affects us all. But the bottom line is, it's only sports.
Yeah. And I got to tell you, Mike, the one I'm really surprised about is spring training, because this virus is really attacking older people. And if you look at spring training crowds, mm-hmm. you know, there's a lot of older people in those spring training crowds.
Yeah.
You don't really hear about young people or kids that are being affected by this, for the most part. It's older people. And I'm really surprised baseball would say, we're suspending all operations at 4:00 today, but the games that are going on right now, yeah, they can still continue.
Yeah, it was strange that the Phillies got on a bus and played in Port Charlotte today. So, yeah, I think you're absolutely right. All right, John, listen, thanks for the info. We really appreciate it.
It's all unprecedented.
Yep. All right, we'll talk to you. There he is, John Clark at NBC Sports Philly and NCAA tournament. Well, we haven't lived in a time where they cancel the NCAA tournament. We've had pro seasons canceled. NCAA tournament has been like Americana.
Yeah, there's never been one period of time where there's been no sports at all, right?
Nope. Very strange time. Let's see how we respond to all this. We'll take a break, come back with Sound Off after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show. .5 The Fanatic. It's time for you to sound off.
You got a beef with me? What is it? The hell are you doing?
You got a beef? It's time for you to sound off.
Oh man, that's irritating.
You don't feel this energy that's going down right now? Number 5 will always love you.
Your chance to tell Mikey Miss what you're fired up about today. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same-Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com. Sound off.
I just have time for a couple sound-off calls. Sound-off 610-771-9705. Let's get right into it, Ty.
I know everybody loves the NBA and how progressive they are, and Adam Silver, yada, yada, yada. This wasn't proactive, by the way. This was reactive. If you look at two words of a dictionary, what is going on in the NBA is reactive, not proactive.
Yeah, we get that, obviously. They didn't close up the shop until the guy tested positive. So, yeah, that would be reactive.
When we all know that Al Horford played well against Embiid, right? So when you pick up that player, isn't it automatically assumed that they're playing the same position? Aren't you just paying for basically a backup? And if you already have the problem of Embiid and Simmons occupying space down low, why would you lose Jimmy Butler, lose J.J. Redick, which are two shooters, and add a player who also plays down low? And when he does shoot threes, it just looks bad and they don't go in.
They assumed that he would be able to play four and stretch four and make a few shots. It hadn't worked out that way, but last night's a tough night for you to pick on him.
Tom Hanks was in Australia making a film. He felt some chills and a fever and went to the doctors and got tested. He's positive for the coronavirus. Now, if Tom Hanks was in New York or anywhere, for that matter, in the United States, he probably could not have even been tested. Now, does somebody want to tell me how advanced and superior the United States is? Give me a break.
I can't argue with anything you just said. You said it in a kind of a cranky way, but the point was well taken. Let's close it down.
That's the best of the best today of Sound Off. Brought to you by Rothman Orthopedic Same Day Joint Replacement, where you can get your hip, knee, or shoulder replaced during the day and sleep in your own bed that very night. Visit samedayjoint.com.
Got a beef? I don't like them.
What are
you? Because I don't like
them. Break. Leave it at 610-771-9705. And listen tomorrow at 5:45 to see if your sound off gets on.
Oh, that was Sound Off. Well, guess who's going to host the next few couple hours? Just 1 hour? Tyrone Johnson.
Hey.
In right here on 97.5, the Fanatic for an hour. And then Joe Torti will come in. NBC Sports Philly, stay tuned for a quick slant. We're without sports, but we'll talk more about it tomorrow. Have a great night, everybody.